Father God, I thank you today for your goodness, your glory, your presence, your faithfulness, for being with us even now, Lord, that you are in us, that you are working through us, Lord, that you have called us, you have separated us, you have ordained us that we would go and bear fruit. Every one of us, Lord, is called to go and to bear fruit. And we know, Lord, the only way we can do that is to abide in you and by the ability you supply us. So today, Father, I ask that you will use me, that you will reach through me, speak through me, Lord, that we will hear your voice. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whoever he wants, as often as he wants, because he's God. He's sovereign. God interrupts our schedule. He interrupted my life in a good way. And sometimes it's through hardship that we're able to come to reality, amen, come to an awakening in our own hearts to realize that, you know what, it's no fun living in the hog pen of life. And God wants better for us. You know, God wants us to come to him because we cannot do anything except by the grace that he supplies us. And there's times when we feel alone. We feel maybe even empty, or we feel that God is distant from us. Sometimes it's because of things that we have done, and other times it has nothing to do with anything we've done. Sometimes God just wants us to trust him no matter what. And we're not to live by feeling, we're not to live by sight, but live by faith. Faith in what? In what God speaks and what he has promised us in his word. God's word, amen, is our guide. Now, there are certain things that we need to understand before we're going to be in a position to receive from the Lord. We all have prayed, amen. We've asked God for things. Maybe you've sought God for things, amen. But you have to first get into position before you're going to receive from the Lord. And I want to talk about that this morning. So the title of the message is How to Receive from the Lord. How to receive from the Lord. So God can reveal himself to us any way he wants. Again, sometimes we're not even looking for him, but he was looking for us. And he allowed situations in our lives to get our attention. Sometimes God will just, out of nowhere, download something into us. You know what I'm talking about? He'll speak to us about something, or he'll share something with us. He'll give us a revelation. He may give you a dream. He may give you a vision. And it's not that you are looking after or seeking after dreams and visions, because we're not to do that, but we're to seek after Jesus. Amen. But as we seek Jesus, then God gives revelation. He reveals himself to us. So remember Saul of Tarsus, who was breathing out threatening against the church of God. Amen. He was on a campaign to incarcerate, you know, in prison, and even have him consenting to the death of Christians. So God gets a hold of Saul, amen. He has that experience on the road to Damascus, amen. He's converted, amen, and becomes Paul the Apostle. And God says, you're perfect for the job, you know. And so it doesn't matter what your history looks like, what kind of background or past you've had, amen. God's not a respecter of persons. God is good to all who seek him, amen, all who call upon him. And God wants to do good in your life. Did you know that? God wants to do good to you. But God calls his people also to seek him, you know, to draw near to him, to boldly approach him, to enter into his presence. This is something that we must take the initiative to do. You see, God doesn't do everything, amen, independent of us. Sometimes he sovereignly moves in our lives and he does something that we didn't expect. But other times, God is expecting us to come to him to take advantage of the opportunity he gives us to come freely, I mean, and confidently and boldly to the throne of grace. Because Jesus has made it possible for us to be in right standing with him so we can with full confidence or faith, amen, appear or come before him in his presence. And so God wants us to draw near. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is what? impossible to please him. For they who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right. So it's like this. Those who diligently seek the Lord in secret will be rewarded openly. There's a time when we have public, congregational, open prayer. Amen. But there's also the time that we have alone with God. And God wants every one of us to have a prayer life, a devotion. Amen. A time spent with him alone. Hallelujah. Away from the crowds, away from the distractions. Amen. Because God wants to speak to you. God wants to reveal to you his will, his purpose for you and for your life. Amen. But we have to discipline ourselves and get ourselves into position to receive from God. And that means that we have to shut off all the distractions and anything that would come between us and God. Any idols that might be in our heart, those things that we have put before God, you know, in our hearts, those things have to come down. We cannot have any other gods before him. Sometimes family becomes a god, and we put our family before the things of God. Are you hearing me? So God wants his people to draw near. Why? Because he's made it possible for us to do so. So we should be taking advantage of this. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room. How many know this? And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. The secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, every Jewish house has a place for secret devotion. It's usually over the porch or entrance of the house, and there frequently is a room above the house set apart for private devotion. Sometimes, you know, they had flat roofs. They'd meet on top of the roofs. And I remember when I was in India, some of the brothers went up on the roof to pray, you know, in the morning. But they would go to a place that they had set apart, a physical structure or place, even if it was just an overhanging, but it was a little place they would get away from everything else and everyone else to have a private devotion with God. That was called the secret place or the upper room. Have you heard that before? Okay, so they went into the upper room, amen, on the day of Pentecost. They went to a place set apart, amen, to seek the Lord. Together, they were in one accord, in one place. Their heart was to pursue the Lord, to seek the Lord together. Amen. They were waiting on the promise of the Father, the promised Holy Spirit. So in Psalms 91:1, we all know this, he who dwells in the secret place. Those who take the time to spend in God's presence, amen, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, again, Jesus wasn't discouraging when he said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, amen, who stand up and pray to be seen. He's saying he's not saying that you don't pray publicly. He's saying that you need to set a time aside, amen, to where you have a private relationship, a private devotion with God, amen. Because if we have a saying out on the bulletin board, it says, if he who kneels before God can what? Stand before anyone. So you cannot stand outwardly if you're not standing up inwardly. If you're not equipped or strengthened by the Spirit, you're not going to do well outwardly in your life. Is that true? You may think you are, but you're not going to do well until God is in charge. Amen. Until that outer man or that flesh, amen, has been weakened to the degree that now your flesh is under the authority of the Spirit. And that's where you have life and peace. The reason why we can be anxious and troubled, you know, and worried and fearful is because our flesh is prone to those things. Our outer man or our soul is prone to worry, to wander, amen, to fear, to these things, okay? Because your soul is what's contacting, if you will, the spirit realm, all right? But what we need is to have a secret time with God to where we are regenerated, where we are strengthened, amen, with might in the inner man so that the inner man or the spirit, amen, becomes stronger than the outer man. And now the outer man, amen, is under the authority of the inner man and you have life and peace because now the Holy Spirit in you is in charge. Are you hearing me? And so today in the New Testament, the secret place doesn't have to be a geographic location. Amen. However, I suggest that you find a place, amen, where you can get away from the noise and spend some time alone with God every day. Amen. But you and I today are the temple, right, of the Holy Spirit. And He meets with us in our heart. How many know when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not necessarily talking about the pump in your chest? Amen. He's talking about your core, your innermost being. And that's where God communes with us, in our spirit. And so those who will worship God must worship Him in spirit. Amen. And in truth. And in reality, right? So those who dwell in this secret place. That means we have an ongoing, abiding relationship with the Lord. All right? We will then abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, John 4:24 again, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must what? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. So today, you and I have full access to the Lord, right? Through the blood of the new covenant. Jesus made it possible for us to come confidently, boldly, to the throne of grace. And we don't have to go through an earthly priest. You don't have to go to confession. You can confess your sins directly to Jesus, amen, because He is our great high priest. And He is our intercessor. He is the one that represents us to the Father. So we can come now confidently because of the blood, amen, that avails for us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, amen. You got to let those things go. If you've confessed your sins, you must put faith in the promise of God that He has indeed forgiven you, amen. And sometimes what helps me is I just say, Lord, thank You that I'm forgiven. Just confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Amen. If you confessed and then you let it go and say, Lord, thank You that Your promise is to forgive me. Amen. Because the enemy's after your faith. He's trying to get you to doubt that God is interested in you, or that he cares, or that he's even listening, or that you're worthy. Here's another one, to approach God. Well, we're not worthy in ourselves, amen, to approach God, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, that covers us, we are qualified through that blood to come with confidence before God. Amen. And so if you have confessed your sin, amen, then thank Jesus that He's already dealt with it. Amen. The sin problem has already been broken in your life if you're a child of God. It's already been broken in your life. You're not a subject to it. You're not a slave to sin. You're a child of God. Amen. But if you yield to your flesh will certainly lead you into sin. Amen. And so what I want to talk about today is the importance of being strengthened and built up. We're going to continue on this because we need to understand that without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. It's by the grace of God that we overcome this world, that we overcome our flesh. And if we can overcome our flesh, the devil has no way to get to us because he works through the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew 5:23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. How many know that our prayers can be altered or hindered if we don't forgive? God is saying, first reconcile, first forgive, deal with that bitterness, deal with that offense. Amen? If you're holding a grudge against somebody, it will hinder your prayers. Amen? So as the Lord has shown us such great mercy when we didn't deserve it, He was on that cross. He's the one that died on our place. Amen. He's the one that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then He expects us to do likewise to one another. Amen. To forgive those who trespass against us. If we don't forgive men their trespasses, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Amen. As a matter of fact, if we refuse to forgive people, you're giving permission for the demons, the tormentors, to come in and mess you up. Amen. And God doesn't want his people messed up. He wants us to obey his voice and do what is right. Not what you feel like doing, but what is right. Because I find that if I do what God says to do, even if I don't feel like it, the good feeling will follow. Because he sees that I've been obedient to his voice. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get challenged by the Lord to do something that we're not comfortable with. But once we step out, we'll find the comfort of the Lord is there. Amen. We'll find the ability of God is there. God will come through every time. So first, he says, if you're going to come, you're going to sing praises. Amen. You're going to give thanks to God. Hallelujah. You're going to bring your offerings, whatever. Amen. Whatever you're going to give, first reconcile to your brother. Amen. And then go and offer your praise. Amen to God. And he will receive that. Okay, so far. Now, it's very important that we have God's perspective on things. We all have an opinion about things. Amen. But what we need is God's perspective. What is actually God saying? What does God think about these things that we deal with every day? And the only way we're going to get God's perspective is by being in God's presence. You know, the Bible says, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. In other words, you can have Christ in you, but he can be a guest that is being ignored. If you don't have communion with the Lord, you don't really have a relationship. Are you hearing me, somebody? And it's out of that relationship that we come to know the Lord, and the Lord will begin to share his secrets and his thoughts with us. He'll begin to show us things, amen, that we couldn't know any other way. He will give us revelation. He will begin to reveal the things that he's placed within our spirit, amen, to our outer man, even to our understanding. Are you hearing me? That's a revelation. Something that was secret, that was, amen, that was hidden, is now revealed to us. Amen. Now it's the Holy Spirit that takes the things of Jesus and reveals them to us. Amen. So it's important, though, that we get God's perspective on things. And in order to get God's perspective, we must come into his presence. Okay. And that means that I have to get past myself. I want to talk about it. Daniel was a man after God's own heart, was he not? David was a man after God's own heart. Daniel received revelation from the Lord. He can interpret dreams, right? And because he had a relationship with the Lord, he was a prophet. God had anointed him and given him special revelation. Because the Bible says that Daniel, as his custom, was what he prayed 3 times a day. And where did he go? It says he went into his upper room to pray. All right? So Daniel had a relationship with the Lord, and therefore God was entrusting to him, amen, some of the secrets that nobody else could know. How many want God to share his heart with you and his secrets with you? Do you know there have been recent lawsuits filed in this country by angry atheists to try to make it illegal to pray in public anywhere in the country? Oh, yes. There's been some battles going on. The ACLJ has been fighting in court over these very things. They're trying to shut down any kind of public expression of prayer. And it's interesting that it was by angry atheists. And if God doesn't exist, why would they be so upset about people praying to a God that doesn't exist? Why would that upset you? Oh, they're just crazy. They're praying to a God that doesn't exist. Let them go. No, because they know. Deep down inside, people know God is. It's that we don't want to retain him in our memory, in our minds. And in Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what had happened is the administration of Darius and King Darius had come together and say, you know what, we need to make it a decree. You need to make a decree that for the next 30 days, nobody's able to pray publicly. You know, and if so, we'll have them arrested, right? And so what happens is Daniel said, as soon as he heard that, well, what did he do? He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So what did Daniel have to do in order to receive from the Lord? He had to get into position to to receive from the Lord. He had to humble himself. Amen? And pray. And he sought the Lord. When he was being challenged about the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, amen, Daniel had to get alone with God. And he had to get revelation from God. He had to seek the Lord. Amen? And the Lord shared with him the secrets. Amen? The things that he needed to know. And so the Nebuchadnezzar made a confession that he's the holy God. He's the true God of Daniel. Amen? That he even knows the things that are in secret and that which is in darkness. In Romans 8:8, it says those in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So the first step is we must be born again. We must receive the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God comes in us. We become a child of God. Amen. We have a connection now to our Father. Amen. And so those who are in the flesh cannot please God, verse 8. That means people that are unregenerate, those who are not born again, cannot please God. It doesn't matter how many good works they do, they can't please God. But in verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ is in you. Amen? If he dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So the first step is you must be born again, amen, and Christ must be in you. And therefore, you are reconnected to the Father, amen? And because of the blood of Jesus, amen, and through our confession, we can with confidence approach the throne of grace. He's made it possible for us to do this. So some people are praying to God, and the prayer that God is going to hear from the sinner, amen, is, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Amen. And that's why you and I are called to intercede on behalf of others, to stand in the gap, that we will lift others before the throne of grace. Amen. That God will intervene in their lives. How many would believe that somebody had been praying for you before you got saved? This year, guys, I want to challenge everybody, including myself, because what we need is an awakening in this nation. We need revival. We need the Church of Jesus Christ in America and this church on fire for Jesus. Amen. And that's going to happen as a result of me taking personal responsibility over my own life. Every one of us is responsible for how we live our lives in this world. Amen. Before God. And I want to challenge us this year to go deeper into the Lord, go deeper in God, grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and knowledge together. I'm talking about that this morning. Because prayer, even if it's a short prayer, just calling on the Lord, I need your help. I get in the car and I pray, Lord, I'm going somewhere. Please watch over us, protect us on the road. Amen. You do that, I would encourage you to pray constantly about whatever you're doing. Call the Lord into that situation. Amen. But prayer will sustain you in your daily walk. Amen. Because without him, we can do nothing. But God wants us to go deeper in prayer. Why? Because God wants us to know his heart better. He wants to be able to reveal his heart to us. And so we don't want to be an outer court Christian that just comes to church occasionally and dips his foot in the kiddie pool and says, oh, that was great. I got some goosebumps. I felt good. You know, but God wants us to actually go deep into him and have a personal relationship with him. Prayer is important because prayer puts our flesh to death. Our flesh cannot be allowed to win this battle in this world. If you don't deal with your outer man or your flesh nature or your sin nature, amen, that we drag around, even as believers, we're dragging that old sin nature around, amen, it's like a corpse, amen, but we're dragging it around, it's still there, but every day you have to put it to death, amen, every day you have to deny that part of you, and the only way to do that is to keep that flesh where it needs to be is by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. To go deeper into God. As you pray and you approach God and you go deeper into God, your flesh becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. And your spirit becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. And thou, you are ruling over yourself effectively and efficiently because the Spirit is in charge. But if we don't take the opportunity, amen, and discipline ourselves to get with God and to go deeper and deeper into prayer, amen, then that outer man is going to win out. How many know that your flesh will rule you if you allow it to? And it becomes harder, amen, it becomes harder to rule if we allow ourselves to go, if you will. We deny the prayer, amen, and the time in the Word of God that we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, amen. And if you don't strengthen yourself in the Lord, your flesh will become more dominant in your life and you can become more susceptible to temptation, amen. But if you are strong in the Lord, hallelujah, you can very easily rule by the Spirit over your flesh. And even if you are tempted, it's not a temptation. It's not anything that's going to take you. You'll be able to say no. When that thing pops up on the computer, amen, that you shouldn't be looking at, your flesh is saying, look, your spirit says deny that. Reject that. If you're strong in the Lord, you'll be more efficient and more effective in saying, no, I'm not going there. I'm not looking at that. And that's why God calls us into His presence, into His fellowship, that we will be strengthened with His might in the inner man so that we can rule over the outer man and bear the fruit of Christ in this world. Amen. We've got to be able to overcome and dominate our flesh. And the only way to put the flesh to death is by the power of the Spirit. Strengthen your inner man and your outer man will no longer be in control. But if you deny that part of you, are you hearing me? If we're not praying like we should, if we're not staying connected to God, if we're not disciplining this body, amen, eventually the flesh is going to win out. You start getting angry and irritable and anxious and worried and fearful and a lack of peace in your life. Why? Because the flesh is strong. You see, the Spirit is willing. Amen. But the flesh is weak. Amen. So we have to put or deny that part of us. Amen. That is hostile to God. God never tells us to patch up or improve upon the flesh. Amen. He says, put it to death. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't connect yourself, amen, to anything in this world that is sinful. Take charge of yourself by being empowered or strengthened with might in the inner man by the Spirit. That's why we worship God in spirit, because we need Him. We need His help. We need His strength. Amen. I find rest in Him. I find peace in Him. Amen. When I am troubled in my soul, amen, I thank God I have a refuge in the Lord. I can come to Jesus and I can cry out to Him, amen, and praise Him and worship Him and get past myself and get into that place of rest. Get into the river, if you will, of His pleasures. To where it's no longer a struggle, it's something of a delight to be with the Lord. We need to get past the distractions of our flesh in order to enter the realm of the Spirit in prayer. So we need to get past the noise, the confusion, the interruptions, the cell phone, all the other things that will try to... How many know what I'm talking about? There's a struggle. God's saying, I want you to settle down. I want you to come to me. I want to speak to you. Amen. I want you to have communion with me. And so you set yourself to do that. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, did I remember to do that? Ring! Here comes the phone, right? Are you hearing me? All of a sudden, all these things start to happen. Why? Because there's a battle. Your flesh does not want to submit to the Spirit. So you cannot allow that spoiled brat to win. You've got to discipline that spoiled brat, the flesh, amen, and make that flesh submit and obey the Lord. And you can only do that, not by your soul power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, amen. So we got to go deeper. We got to get past ourselves. We got to get from the place, as someone said, from fight to flight. Amen. From fight to flow. You want to get past that place where you're struggling, amen, and you get into that place of peace, of rest. And I have found that's when God speaks to me the most, amen, is when I settle down and I'm willing to put away all the distractions and anything else. Lord, I'm not going to have any other things before you right now, amen. I'm going to get myself in right position here. I'm going to settle down because I need to hear from God. How about you? If you don't consistently pray, if you don't have a prayer life, then it's going to be difficult for you to overcome your flesh. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. And so you can leave out of here today feeling refreshed and feeling strengthened and feeling good. Are you hearing me? But if you don't personally maintain that and keep that supply of oil in your lamp, you're going to leak out. Amen? Maybe by tomorrow. So you got to set time aside to get into the secret place with the Lord, amen? To have personal communion with Him where He will recharge your batteries, if you will, and He will give you the strength that you need on a daily basis now, amen? They had to eat the manna how often? Every day they had to get the bread, amen? The bread of the Word. So that they were able, amen, to walk and navigate by the Spirit. We learn how to do this. All right. So some people, maybe you may start out with 5 or 10 minutes of prayer. Well, what do I pray about? You see? Well, now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. You know, I prayed. You know, now we start out with maybe a few things. Amen. Let me encourage you to do this. Ask the Holy Spirit to touch you and help you to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that He's given to you, amen, to touch you and help you to pray. And then get into praise. Begin to thank God. Come before His presence with singing, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Amen. Thanksgiving, praise, amen. And all of a sudden, you're going to begin to sense that something is beginning to well up within you. There's like a spring of life, amen, within your spirit. Hallelujah. You're going to start to feel the waters being released. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. You got to get to that place where all of a sudden now the spirit is beginning to overcome the outer man. And all the noise and the confusion and the distractions begin to go away. That means you're getting past your flesh and you're getting deeper into God's heart. And it's in that secret place where God will begin to reveal His secrets to you. He will reward you openly. God mostly interacts with us, now hear this, in proportion to our obedience. We're asking God to give us, God, give me this, God, give me that. And God will give revelation to the ones who are faithful with the revelation. God will entrust the greater riches of the kingdom to those who can be trusted. And those who can be trusted are those who are obedient to Him. So if we want to receive more from the Lord, we have to be faithful with what we've already received. Is that making sense? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body. Remember this? And I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. He understood that in his flesh he could disobey God. In his flesh he could do whatever he wanted. Amen. But he was not going to allow that outer man, that flesh, that spoiled brat, that child, amen, to dictate what he did. He had to put it to death every day. And he can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. People who worship God in spirit are people who are strengthened in their spirit. And people who are strengthened in their spirit can rule over their outer man or their flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants to take us past just the intellect, amen, into the spirit. So that now the spirit, amen, rules over the intellect. When we hear a word, amen, we need to receive that word in our spirit, amen. You can get it in your head. You can have a lot of scripture, but you can have a lot of scripture and yet not know the God of scripture personally. Is that true? It's in the place of rest where the Spirit empowers us to pray unhindered. So you got to get past that outer court. You got to get past that flesh, that soulish part of you that's difficult and has difficulty praying. Yeah? That means press in. Press on. Stand your ground. Don't let the flesh win out. There's times when I go to pray and my flesh is really fighting. And there's a struggle that occurs. And you know what I'm talking about? You ever been struggling? You should be. Amen. If you're human, you're going to struggle with that flesh at times. Amen. So you've got to overcome that part of you that says, okay, you prayed enough. It's time to go. I've only prayed 5 minutes, but that's enough. You're good to go now. How many know that God wants some quality time with us? And yet, we get to this place where, well, I don't even know what to pray for. How many have been there? I don't even know what to pray for. So you pray for a few things, but you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to pray and help me to get over me. Help me to get past me. Help me get into the secret place with you. And so, Lord, if there's any sin in my life, please forgive me. Cleanse me from it right now, Lord. Hallelujah. And thank you for forgiveness. Amen. We get that out of the way. Amen. And Lord, I just want to give you thanks. I want to give you praise for your goodness in my life and for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for choosing me and calling me out and calling me your own. That today I'm a new creation. That I'm your child because of the new birth, because of your grace and your mercy, not because of anything I've done, but because of your goodness. And today, Lord, I can come with confidence because you've taken care of the sin problem. Amen. And you will hear me. I thank you for that. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we begin to just to continue to press in and even make confession with our mouth about the promises of God, God releases his grace. How many God know the Holy Spirit is always in harmony with the Word of God? So when we work together with the Word of God and we use the Word of God in our prayer, amen, the Holy Spirit always responds to the Word of God because they're one. And so then you get to a place where I'm not struggling anymore. All of a sudden, starts to come. The people start to come. God starts to show it. Amen. You get into intercession. All these faces start coming. I usually see faces. They just drops them in. God shows me faces. And I just start praying. But initially, I'm going to struggle. When we get up on the stage, amen, we should already be in that holy place in our hearts. We should already be prepared spiritually before we get up there so that we're not just intellectually kind of going through a sing-along. Amen. We want to be in that place of harmony with the Holy Spirit so that we're hearing his voice and we're responding to his. Amen. This is something that we have to work at. And I'm encouraging everybody this year to go deeper in your prayer life because that's where your strength is going to be. In quietness and in rest. He is our refuge. Pray through until you get into the peace of God. So you get into the realm of the Spirit. There is no torment in God's love. Amen. There's no fear in God's love. God wants to take you past you and into him. Amen. But my responsibility is to discipline my body. Amen. And tell my body that you're going to pray. Get up off the chair. Amen. And go and get along with God. Hallelujah. I can pray wherever I'm at. If you're at work, you pray throughout your day. Amen. Because you have the secret place within you. Amen. But there's something about having a designated time and place where you meet with the Lord. And after a while, if you're not able to get there because of some interruption, you miss it. Are you hearing me? And you just make it up some other time. As soon as you can, you get to a place where you want to pray. It's not I have to pray, it's I get to pray. Because I want to pray because my God is so good. He's the one that brings stability to my life. Psalms 46:10, I love this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. Quit fretting, quit worrying. I, the Lord says what? Will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Reflect on that, Selah, right? Ponder that. Hallelujah. The Lord, the God of Jacob, is our refuge. Hallelujah. But back to this, guys, that if we're faithful in what God has already entrusted to us, then we can be in a position to receive more revelation. Here's another one. John 15:14, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." No longer do I call you servants. Listen, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. God, what are you doing? Get into the secret place. Pray through. Get past yourself. Settle down in his presence. Wait on the Lord, and the Lord will speak to you. He will reveal his secrets. But you've got to get past yourself. Yeah. But he says, but I have called you friends. For the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Psalms 25:14, the Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. God will give more to those who can be entrusted with more. So he said in Luke 8:18, pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. To those who what? Listen to my teaching. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Whoa. Again, John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. How many would agree with me there's safety in the Word of God? We should not be seeking experiences, if you will, or just manifestations and dreams and visions and these things. We should be seeking the Lord, amen? And the Lord will determine what we need, amen? And he will reveal to us what we need, amen? And but God's Word is really that foundation. It's our compass, isn't it? It brings stability in our lives. So everything has to be within, amen, the parameters of God's Word. When we get outside of the Word of God, we get into trouble. When we get outside of obedience, we get into trouble. Mm-hmm. It's through the written Word that we come to know the living Word, Jesus Christ. And without the knowledge of the Word, we will be unable to discern between good and evil. So we need the Spirit and the Word in order to be able to discern. And the word discern means to be able to judge correctly. To judge correctly. To be able to judge things correctly. Discernment is a result of spiritual maturity. Amen? You grow in the Lord. You grow in the Spirit. As you dwell and take time and be in God's presence, you will grow, amen, as you spend time in the Word, amen, and in the Spirit, hallelujah, of the Word. You will grow spiritually, and your eyes will be opened, if you will, the eyes of your heart or your spirit, and you'll be able to see clearly what's really going on, and you won't be duped by deception of the enemy, because your spiritual eyes have been enlightened by the Spirit of the Lord and by the Word, amen, to know what is of God and what is not of God. The problem is many people, even many Christians, lack discernment. And they get into error because they lack discernment. And the reason why is because they don't have a disciplined life and they don't get into the presence of God. Amen. They don't grow up spiritually. They don't build themselves in the Lord so that their outer man mostly is in charge of everything. And the outer man is blind as a bat. Come on, somebody. Oh, we think we see, but we're not really seeing the way we should. We don't see things from God's perspective except by the Spirit of the Lord that he gives to us. And as we yield to him, he'll give us more. More revelation. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what? Good and evil. Hebrews 5:12, amen, in the New Living Translation says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. I've known people that have been Christians for years and years and years that are still infants. And I've known people that have been Christians a very short time that have grown very quickly because they have committed themselves to growth. They have committed themselves to the Lord. They have taken the time to learn, to study, and to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is growing them up, and He is giving them discernment. And some of the newer Christians are looking around at some that have been a Christian a long time and saying, how come they don't see that? We need to grow. This is not talking about biological age, you know. And what's in the spirit, children. A man can grow quickly and become mature Christians. God wants us to go deeper. He wants us to feed on His Word, on His faithfulness. But here it is again, Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And that training really has to do with you and I being disciplined. Amen. In the Lord. To pray, to read the Word, to be in fellowship, to be engaged, amen, in the work of the Lord. And doing acts of obedience as the Lord is showing us what to do. Are you hearing me? As you do all these things, working together, serving the Lord as well, within the capacity that He's grown you up into, amen, then He will entrust to you more and give you more opportunity. And He will give you more revelation. And you'll come to know in the secrets of His heart because He sees that in you He has somebody that He can trust. He's not going to give more to somebody He can't trust. And those who do not have a good, solid biblical foundation cannot be trusted because they lack discernment. Is it important for me to read and study and get the Word in me? Absolutely. Why? Because God cannot trust somebody that doesn't know His ways, that doesn't know Him through the Word. Are you hearing me, somebody? So if you want to grow, you want God to do more in your life, start studying, reading, and absorbing the Word, amen, and be a worshiper of God. Go deep into God, amen. Get into that place so that when you know the Lord's voice, amen, because you know God would never contradict His Word. You got people that want experiences with God, but they don't want to be in the Word. They don't want the discipline, amen, of doing that. How many know there's a lot of people in error right now because they just want some kind of spiritual experience, but they don't want to know the will of God and the Word of God. Are you hearing me? So there's a lack of discernment. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the churches across America, amen, because somebody is lacking the discernment or the Word of God, or they're rebelling against it, or just in fear of man, they're submitting to man instead. So in Luke 8:18 again, He said, pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to My teaching, more understanding will be given. Amen. So again, we can't navigate correctly without the Spirit and the Word. Amen. The Word is our guide. And we can cross over, and people do. They cross over into the demonic and thinking they're doing God's work. Why? Because they don't have a foundation in the Word of God. And they lack discernment. So they're looking for spiritual experience, but they don't have the foundation of the Word. I believe that both are important, amen? But you don't seek experience, you seek Jesus, amen? And you seek Him, and you study His Word, and then God will say, I have somebody here that I can trust. Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun in Jeremiah 23. I'm almost finished, by the way. Verse 25, I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. A lot of people are following after other people's dreams. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor. They just parrot it, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Verse 28, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a shaft to the wheat, says the Lord? Again, the Holy Spirit is always in harmony with the word of God. Amen. So if there's a manifestation, amen, you need to have the discernment to know, is this God or is this something else? You got a lot of people that don't take the time to study, to know the word of God, and they run around from conference to conference, from thing to thing, looking for they're like, as someone said, chasing fire trucks. Where's the fire at? Well, what kind of fire are you going to get into? And how do you know if that fire is of God or not? Except by the discernment that comes from the Spirit through the word. God will prick you. He'll give you that. Amen. If you have a good relationship with God, don't ignore, amen, the times when you feel that the Lord is giving you that prick in your spirit. You know what I'm saying? That something's not lining up here. But if you really are close to the Lord, you're really in that place and you're abiding in him, you will know very clearly what is of God and what is not. So my suggestion is, like, we need to constantly keep that flesh where it belongs. Amen. Under our feet. We need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, amen, so that we are prepared, even praying in the Holy Spirit as praying in tongues, amen, building up your spirit, man, hallelujah, so that we are able to see clearly what is actually going on and not just the way things appear. I'm going to finish with this. I've used this illustration before, but a crocodile is a subtle creature, isn't it? It's under the water, and sometimes all you see are those two eyes above the water, right? And they're looking for prey. But if you don't have the discernment, you're not going to be able to realize that there's something more to this picture than that rock out there in the middle of the lake. Amen. And so that's like the enemy is very subtle. And if we're just relying upon our human senses or our soul senses, we're going to be deceived. Not might, you will be deceived. You need to rely upon the Spirit and the Word of God so you can see what's actually going on. Not how things appear on the surface, but what's going on. Some people know how to speak so well. Some people can preach very well. Amen. But what we need to discern is what's really going on in the spirit. Who is this person really? There are some really good actors out there behind the pulpits too. We need to be able to discern. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you subject yourself to. Amen. If you have a relationship with the Lord, hallelujah, amen, you know his voice through the word and by the spirit, amen, you won't be deceived. But if you're just going on your human reasoning and understanding, you can miss God. Yeah. There are a lot of people that have a lot of intellectual knowledge of the word, but they don't know the God of the word. There's no fruit. There's no life. The reason why we study this word is so that we may come to know the true and living word, Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all about that. Jesus, the center of it all. Jesus, the main attraction. When we come here, we want him to be the main attraction. Not the music, not the preaching, but Jesus. Amen. We want to know Jesus. You shall know Jesus, the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You won't be deceived. You won't be duped. There are many, many that are so deceived right now, even in churches across this nation, because they don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I want to encourage you guys, if your flesh has been ruling out on you, it's time to put it to death this year. Put it to death. Start disciplining yourself. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with it. Amen. But get your flesh back under submission to the Spirit. Put it to death every day, and you'll have life and peace, and you'll bear fruit and glorify the Father. Hallelujah.